Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And greetings to you once again. This is Brad Zockel in our Questions About Heaven podcast. And I'm continuing on as we're going verse by verse through the book of Revelation, a very mysterious book to many people and even fearful to some. But it's a book of victory, and it also is a book of unveiling who Jesus Christ is. And we see that. We've been talking about that. And now we've walked into the scene in heaven in chapter 4. We've seen the introduction was talking about the warning and the description of Christ, which we'll now see go into full action here throughout this book. Then 2 and 3 were letters to churches, and you can listen to my earlier podcast, and you'll see the information about that. But now we're at the scene in heaven, and we've already talked in the first opening verses about the presentation of the wondrous things, the trumpet calling out, the voice sounding like a trumpet calling for John to move up, step through the door, which puts him into a vision of heaven, and he's seeing the first and foremost thing is the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones on the elders, and we talked about that in our last podcast. And now I move you to verse 5. Let me read 5 and 6. And during the time that we have here in this podcast, let's go ahead and talk about that and see what the Bible is explaining to us. God's Word is telling us about this future teaching, what will happen on earth, what happens in heaven and such. Now, we're looking at the throne. Remember, the opening of this chapter, we're seeing God on the throne, emanating colors, wondrous, wondrous symbolism here. The circle, the emerald circle of promise and faithfulness, the white light showing his holiness, the red, which would intimate the mercy, the sacrificial bloodshed, and we're seeing so many things, and we're just getting a grasp of who God is in here. Now, then verse 5 says, out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures. And they were full of eyes in front and behind. And it gives a description here. Let's talk about these two verses in the time that we have. We're looking at something quite wondrous here when we're looking at the throne and then the creatures of the throne. What in the world can this possibly mean as we're looking in here to these wonderful, wonderful visions and views of this the scene in heaven that's telling us all about this? All right, so now let's take a look here. And when we see in Revelation, we see there are a number of just wondrous things going on. I was just doing a study earlier about the heavenly music that will be in heaven that we'll see. And it's all through the Bible, we see this the wonder of singing. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We sing toward heaven. Let us sing unto the Lord, Psalm 95 and verse 1 says. And then it tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You get the idea that as we sing, we're singing to the Lord, not to show off. 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. And while you're doing that, it says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 33, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Now listen to this as we go down through the Psalm 33. Sing to him a new song. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. You go over to Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 147, it's good to sing, I'm sorry, 149, sing to the Lord a new song. You see all of these wondrous new songs, new music being played in here. as we look in the scripture, we're just absolutely taken aback by the beauty of what we're going to see all the way through here. And we'll see singing in Revelation chapter 5. We'll see celebration in Revelation chapter 7 in here. So as we're going in here, and we are taking a look in this early, early part in Revelation chapter 4, we're going back and we're seeing this scene here. In Revelation chapter 4, it doesn't seem like they're singing right here, right now. In Revelation 4, we're seeing a judgment. We're seeing something that is very fearful. And from the throne, the origin, proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And what we're saying is, God right now is judging. This is going to be judgment. Now, we've seen Jesus as the shepherd. We've seen God as being mentioned as the Father and the adoption of sons and the leading of the shepherd and the gentleness of Jesus. But right now, we're seeing judgment, anger, righteous judgment going on here. And when we see this, we're reminded of chapter 8. If you go over to chapter 8, you'll see some of that judgment in verse 5. It will talk about the angel in taking. There are prayers, and it's all the symbolism is a wonder. And the angel takes something called a censer. He's putting something in, taking all of this, the prayers of the saints, filled it with the fire from the altar, and then he throws it to the earth. And what happens is there are the same thing, peals of thunder, all of these flashes of lightning, and an earthquake as well. And you're going to see chapter 11. You'll see the same thing, flashes of lightning, peals of thunder, earthquake. Well, there's even a hailstorm included in that. When God gives his judgment, it's a fearful thing. And I'm thinking of this whenever we're looking back in Exodus, way back in Exodus in chapter 19, at Mount Sinai. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And you go over to chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "You speak, we will hear. Let not God speak with us. We're going to die." They were so taken aback by the power. You know, we think about this. Our God is a holy Lord God. He is above all things, one that in his sovereignty shows his power in judgment and shows his greatness in his love. But we must remember something. God is a holy Lord God. And in his expression of holiness, he can express his judgment in power. And it is a frightening thing. I can think of some very brave people who cower just at the flash of lightning and the sound of thunder, even here on earth, just one or two, and they're taken aback by that. Or someone, when I lived in California, even the bravest of people that would quiver whenever an earthquake would hit, and they would shake with fear as much as the ground was shaking as well. Now, with all these things are happening here, this is showing something incredibly powerful that we ought to remember. In the face of sin, it's a wonder that we are not all consumed, as the Bible says. But through Jesus Christ, we receive something that is absolutely incredible. We receive forgiveness for sins, because God won't put up with sin. But think about what it says in the Bible. When the repentant sinner comes through Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, "God in Christ has forgiven you." It's an amazing thing when we see all of this judgment. We're so glad that we're under the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of God through Jesus, we found it. And there is no condemnation, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, for those who are in Jesus Christ. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, God delights in mercy. In verse 19, it says, He casts the sins of the repentant sinner to the depths of the sea. You remember this. We talked about this. Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, He's removed our sins from us. I like this. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, I'll remember their sins no more. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, I'll remember those sins no more. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, I'll remember their sins no more. Thank the Lord above that He forgets our sins. He remembers them no more. He becomes selectively forgetful in this. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, it says He's blotted out the sins of the repentant sinner as if they were hidden in a thick cloud, an impenetrable cloud that you can't see through. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, through Him, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in you. Everybody who believes is justified in all things. But for here, for those that will not repent, the judgment is severe. The judgment is evident here. Now, we see this. And from the throne proceeds lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, if you remember, we talked about this. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, it gave the sevenfold manifestations of the Spirit. Remember this, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. It's giving these are showing the Holy Spirit, seven, the number of completeness, and giving this ministry, giving this description of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, of counsel, of might, and such. It's talking about that. And it also says this as well. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, it repeats this, the sevenfold manifestation of the wonders, the characteristics that tell us of the Holy Spirit here. It's coming out, okay? Now, when you see this, this is being represented, the Holy Spirit is showing, seven burning lamps is showing them. He is represented in different ways through the Scripture, the Holy Spirit. We see that He can be angered. We see that He is gentle. We see that He gives courage. We see that He, in Romans chapter 8, He interprets prayers. Right here, it is representing Him that He is like a burning fire. And remember what we said, in symbolism, every time we see fire, it means holy judgment. He represents Him in that physical way here, because we see a lot of times the Holy Spirit is humbly in the background when all of this is going on. And we see it here. Now, before the throne, there's a sea of glass, like crystal. Now, this one can puzzle a lot of people. So as we conclude, let me give you some of this. There are some that will say, well, this doesn't really mean it's physical, it's figurative. And some say, no, this is as tangible as possible. When it says glass, it's glass. But what you're seeing here, whatever it's going to be, we want to make sure that we don't get so argumentative in the details, we miss the point, okay? It is giving us the best appearance that glass can be, and that would be like crystal. So let's concentrate on this. The appearance to us right now, before this throne, is crystal-like, pure glass here. And when it says it, it is represented as if it's a sea, wide and spreading out before, all before us here. Now, I remember when I was up in the Lancaster area in Pennsylvania, there was a presentation, a life-size representative of the tabernacle. And in there was something as I walked through and all the dimensions were correct. And you can go there. I cannot remember the name of it. But presented by the Mennonites, it was, I've been there twice in my earlier years, a number of decades back, and I remember very clearly going through, and they were describing the different furniture, holy furniture of the tabernacle, and they went over to the laver in the tabernacle, and it's talking about how the priests would go in there, and they would wash that wide body, and sometimes they would reference it as a sea. Now, when you say that, it gives us this idea that there is cleansing through the Lord here. The clear, crystal clear presentation here reminds us of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. The washing of the water by the word, it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that these might be sanctified and cleansed. And so I believe that this is telling us here that there is cleansing through the Lord in the midst of all of this judgment. There's cleansing for those who come through Jesus Christ. It is telling us very, very important that we can receive grace and we can receive mercy in front of a holy Lord God, and that comes through Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord that we can find forgiveness of sins. Not only that, think about this right now. In the face of the holy Lord God, who will judge nations, who has condemned angelic realms to condemnation because of the rebellion. And yet, we can rely upon 1 John 1:9 as Christians. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we look at these magnificent truths in Revelation, we can come back and be consoled. In Jesus Christ, I'll remind you once again, in all of the judgments from chapter 6 through chapter 19, on earth by this mighty God, there's not one reference to the ecclesia, to the church, to the believers there. We thank the Lord for that. Let's talk some more about this. We're going through the book of Revelation, and we're specifically in chapter 4. I appreciate it. Take notes. Mark these things down. Let's continue to learn as we're walking through this wonderful book.
Thanks for joining us this week on Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel of the Zulon International Bible Institute. Be sure to visit our website, zulon.org, to learn more about our Bible ministry. That's XULON.org. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. And keep an eye out for our upcoming ebook, Questions About Heaven. Thanks, God bless you, and have a great day.